The truth is always out there, sometimes way out there, with the Midweek Drive team on Siren 107.3 FM.
Now, the exciting thing is that at least two people in the studio have actually been to see... Yes, Thomas Newman, with the backdrop there, which I know secretly you've always wanted to have as your ident backing music.
Contemporary country music, lashings of Americana, and taking digital worlds to new levels. It can only be Cameron Tilbury.
Isn't that right, Cameron? Yeah, 007 in disguise, Brave New World, Thomas Newman there. Little snippet of the whole sequence. And yet, in the end of the day, without giving too many spoilers away, he loses his M. Never mind. Let's just work on that whole basis there. He does. He loses his M. Yeah, a whole routine in that perspective. I won't go any further, but how are you, Cameron?
I'm well.
So, you're in Nashville, and Katie Grimason, as a top American studies student, realises Nashville, that's the United States. You've been having Superstorm Sandy, which sounds like a wonderful marketing tool for another classic routine, but obviously isn't. There's a much more serious scenario for that. What's been the Nashville take on this?
We didn't get it. I mean, we've had high winds, but nothing that you would say were damaging winds. It's just been kind of breezy for the past few days and cool. But see, we're in mid-Tennessee, and to the east of us are the Smoky Mountains and East Tennessee, and they've apparently had some snow and some rain and wet weather, but nothing near the scope that they're having up north in the Northeast.
Well, it just goes to show, it's we're all on the same planet, and we're sending out positive waves of gratitude to the whole thing. Now, before we go into tasting tears... Well, it could be a bit salty, you know. It's obviously the choice of this week. Chris, you are with us for the first 45 minutes or thereabouts from the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. Welcome back to the programme, because when you made your debut, of course, it was Midweek Drive Morning Edition a wee while ago.
Early in the morning.
And if I was to say, what ever happened to my Transylvania twist? You might sort of think, oh, interesting. You know, horror, Halloween, etc. But again, you may not. You might sort of think, how is that going to connect with Sweeney Todd? What exciting things are happening at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre that you want to just tease ahead to so far, sir?
I just want to just apologise first, because I can't offer you what you were so excited about last time, which was Mr. Piffle's million-dollar chihuahua.
You know that Mr. Piffle's million-dollar chihuahua was a particular favourite I was looking forward to.
I could tell.
Katie's face has already dropped on that basis.
But bearing in mind what night it is tonight, I thought I'd come along with blood, sex, lust, all these kind of good things, royal families, people killing each other, excitements of this sort, and I've got them aplenty in the weeks to come.
Sounds like the average day in the life of Cameron Tilbury for the city, really, doesn't it? Anyway, I have a sense that A. Flynn, or Tasting Tears, kind of channels Johnny Cash in this. Now, is that just me, or is it just something completely different on that basis? But tell over to you, Cameron. Explain why you've gone for this choice for All Hallows' Eve. Is it a trick? Is it a treat? Who knows?
I think it's a treat. Actually, a friend of ours here in Nashville, Ginny, she's originally from Vermont. She said, well, you know, there's this huge music scene in Vermont. Grace Potter and the Nocturnals come from Vermont. The band Fish come from Vermont. And I had never heard of these. Well, I'd heard of Grace and I'd heard of Fish, but, you don't really hear about Vermont much. So she said, oh, I'm going to connect this guy to you. So Aaron sent me his video, and it's for this song. It's really rootsy rock. You've picked up on the Johnny Cash thing. I don't think that's wrong. I think there's some kind of Roy Orbison in there. I think it's just good rootsy rock.
Let's just hold it there before you announce it. Ed Wellman, are you ready for some good rootsy rock?
Bring it on, sir. Bring it on.
Bring it on, says Ed. Katie, rootsy rock?
Yeah.
Do you think your mother's going to go with this as well?
I don't know if she's listening.
Unbelievable. Chris, rootsy rock?
Did you get chips with that?
Cameron, introduction, please.
From Charlotte, Vermont, this is Aaron Flynn and Tasting Tears on Siren FM.
Salty. Katie, what did you make of Tasting Tears?
It's very jolly sound.
Very jolly sound. Chris, you were sort of saying, are you sure this is from Vermont, I believe? Was that your
quote? It should be more green and pleasant and maple syrup and cows in the pastures and red barns, shouldn't it? I mean, I thought that was Vermont.
Oh, there's the message, Cameron. Ed, you recognised an instrument.
Well, I particularly partial to a bit of Hammond organ.
And who isn't?
And do you know, I also have to say that I could hear some in excess in that. I mean, isn't that odd? Yeah.
A little bit in excess.
Do you know?
Yeah. You just squeeze in a little smidgen of in excess, thinking we weren't going to notice it, Cameron.
Yeah. You're right. There is. You're not the first person to say there's a little touch of in excess happening there.
You know, life continues in its own merry way. Cameron, would you like to ask Chris what exciting things are happening at LPAC? And why you should actually get on the plane from Nashville straight away, fly over those difficult weather fronts and make your way back to Lincoln to actually say, yes, the Lincoln Performing Arts Center. This is what we should be going to.
You actually call it LPAC because we have the Tennessee Performing Arts Center here, and it's TPAC.
Nice. See? There's links there. TPAC meets LPAC.
TPAC, LPAC. Yeah, we could get together on this one.
We'll be talking about native voices at the Autry as well with Jean Bruce Scott shortly, Mike Dooley, our ace inspirational writer, and Michelle Monroe, and possibly Randy Reinholtz, and Tallulah Randall. Oh, it's amazing. And it's over to your good self. You're wearing the mantle of interviewer now, Cameron. You've got a good 240 seconds to squeeze the good juices out of Chris Taylor and find out how, you know, Katie, who we sent along to see Stephen K. Amos, whom we did interview because Chris said, I can't do this, can you do an interview? And we did, didn't we? I was Chris Taylor for the Stephen K. Amos interview. Anyway, carry on. Cameron, over to you.
This is going to be a bit of a general question here, but what do you think is the best thing about LPAC?
Oh, goodness me. Now, I've thought of a lot of questions I could get asked, but I've never got asked that one. I think the best thing about LPAC here in Lincoln is the sheer variety of material that you can see at it. There really is something for everyone. We've got blood and gore. We've got happy musicals. We've got jolly comedy. We've got music. We've got art galleries. It's great. I don't know how things go like that down there with you in TPAC, but up here in LPAC, we've got a bit of something for everyone here.
Cool. Yeah, I think the same thing can be said over here. There's, you know, classical music and there's theater and there's just a lot of different things going on.
What do you do about Halloween? Because, of course, tonight is Halloween, isn't it? Do you do anything exciting? Because we've got blood and gore in about two hours flat.
I blame the Americans personally.
If you've got to celebrate you should celebrate right.
I don't do Halloween because... Well, it was a traumatic thing when I was a kid. My mother made me dress up like a woman, and I've never got over that.
Cameron, I've told you, we leave the existential psychotherapy until later in the day, you know? Please.
Oh, that's right.
Let's just come out and know that's allowed, you know? Goodness
sakes. Freudian slip is showing.
Cameron, I've got just the thing for you, then. If we leave aside the crazed demon barbers and blood dripping everywhere and the Shakespearean plots, incest, murders and insanities, we've got some nice classical music, which would be just the thing, just more the sort of thing I was expecting from upstate Vermont. We've got a band, a chamber music orchestra coming in from West Cork in the south of Ireland, coming in to play us some pretty and calming music in about 10 days' time. In fact, they'll be here on Sunday night, no more quicker than 10 days' time, 3 days' time. That should be just what you need.
Simple.
Sure wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, it's just wondrous stuff. I mean, Ed, that sounds like something you could actually go and do a critical comment on, really, in many ways.
In my diary.
A review. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sorted.
Thank you.
Don't worry, Cameron, we'll be flying Ed over to Nashville as well to check out TPAC. It's all in the whole routine. But listen, what do you think, Cameron? You've launched this whole show. Before we go on to Mike Dooley, what do you think? Should we actually have a trick or a treat for the studio co-presenters so far? What do you think they deserve?
I think half of them deserve a trick and the other deserve a treat.
That's all because there's three of us. Well, here we are. I am emerging from my green bag. I'm going to emerge with the first official Midweek Drive Halloween treat, and it's a green Jaffa cake.
Oh,
yes.
You see
where we go?
It's
just one. And listener, we'd like you to actually sort of say that, you know, you can share that with the team, basically. It's there, sorted through, you know.
I'm jealous.
Other cakes are available, obviously, but, you know. Look at
I'm
that.
Really jealous. We don't get Jaffa cakes here.
Yeah, well, you see, that's it. You know, just brand the whole thing, and we'll get some sent over to you. You know, we'll work that whole process through. Katie, last two questions for Cameron Tilbury, please.
Cameron, have you had a reasonably interesting telephone interview with us today?
I certainly have.
And can we look forward to connecting with you in the near future?
I'll be back.
That's a nightmare. A flock of seagulls, nightmares.
Hi, this is Mike Dooley from Tut.com. I'm thrilled to be in the UK, and I'm thrilled to be part of the Midweek Drive on Siren FM.
And the fact of the matter is, Mike, you are always a part of the Midweek Drive, even when you're back in Florida, coping with all sorts of other marvellous things. It's Mike Dooley. How are you?
Oh, brilliant, Alex. Great to be with you again. Thank you.
Genuine delight as ever, as we head towards our grand broadcast-a-thon together with Phil Leonis over in Los Angeles and LA Talk Radio, when on the 20th and 21st of December we celebrate the end of the Mayan calendar and the beginning of something really more exciting. There we are. You know, it's 2012. We have our fingers nailed. Mike, as somebody who's in Florida, presumably you'd like to confirm that it wasn't simply one huge trailer for the next Roland Emmerich disaster movie in terms of seeing Hurricane, or indeed now Superstorm Sandy, affecting you guys on the East Coast.
Well, it was. I think Sandy touched on every shore here, from Florida all the way up through New England, where she now is. We did not have much of a problem here. Of course, that's not true up north, but we'll manage. We've got the spirit. Yeah. Thoughts become things, and ours are of. Thriving ultimately. So thank you, Alex.
Precisely. Well, as I say, it's essential that our top transatlantic correspondents are looked after. We like to feel as though we give you a little bubble of care and we sort of send it out from Lincoln, England to the world. You know, that's the important thing. The back of the fantastic Notes for the Universe we have, what if the universe were to send you frequent reminders of the absolute power you have over your life? Ed Wellman, you've taken that line. You have signed up on Tut.com. You received your first magnificent motivating thing this very day.
I signed up yesterday. I'm a proud Tutter now, one of half a million. And I woke up this morning to this. Are you hearing a lot more I love yous lately, Ed? Or is it just me? Actually, I wouldn't have asked if the answer wasn't so obvious, but it's fun to point out. Get it on the universe. That's a great start.
Yay! Exactly.
I think I might sign up to that.
It's good. Yeah.
I think you should, Katie, because we love you, Katie. Yay! And Chris, we love you too. There we are.
Thank you.
Share with us, because Ed, you obviously you're doing MA in community radio here, postgraduate. You've had experience teaching, and you've obviously got a degree in music, etc. What is it that resonates with yourself over my? Because it's the man himself who's obviously on the phone now.
It is. It is these words on the website tuts.com that I like: engaging life's magic. Because you can have all the education, you can have all the things, but if you don't have the magic, you're missing out, aren't you? Is that...
Thank you.
Good, I'm glad you agree.
This is the point where Mike could have said, no, that's a different Mike Dooley. That's something completely yes. different. Yeah, I want to go down a completely different route. I mean, this is something which, I mean, we, obviously from your time in The Secret and the line, and even before that, I mean, the shift from being an accountant with Price Waterhouse, becoming an inspirational speaker and going through Toastmasters, etc. We've followed the pathway way through, etc. We go back. I mean, actually, Chris, as somebody who's kind of engaged with business, you're involved with LPAC now, the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. Do you often find that actually, if you're being essentially positive, you ultimately will win out, that good things happen? Whereas if you actually sort of come across with focusing on the negative, you get more negative, challenging things there.
Well, it's inevitable, I think, yes. If you have a positive attitude towards life, it's your glass being half full rather than half empty all along, isn't it? Then you run into self-fulfilling prophecies. You start believing that things are going to be good. And then even if other people think they're not, then you probably do think they're good. But I'm fascinated by this connection between Price Waterhouse and inspirational thoughts and thinking.
They often don't get together, do they? Yes. Mike?
Mm-hmm.
Price Waterhouse and obviously other accountants and indeed sort of top-line sort of international agencies are available, just in case people are thinking, oh, you haven't mentioned KPMG or all sorts of other bits and pieces. But was this something which you kind of felt drawn to? I mean, again, I know it's a story we've shared before, but this notion of actually coming to discover kind of the magic in your own life, really.
Well, you know, each life is kind of a mosaic construction from all kinds of input and sources. I couldn't really nail it down to any one thing other than I've been led, and I'm not unique in this way, by my dreams. And in the beginning, as a teenager in my early 20s at university, my dreams kind of whispered to me, and I thought the best way to get there would be to get an accounting background. So I could understand objectively, you know, what works, what doesn't work, how to measure what's working, etc. And so that's why Pricewaterhouse and my dreams, you know, came true for years within that shell, that organization, because I worked for Pricewaterhouse in Florida, in Saudi Arabia, in Cairo, Egypt, in New York City, in Boston, Massachusetts. But my dreams outpaced the progress I was making at PW, and so I quit. And just because I wanted more, and I think that's an awesome thing. As long as we're not unhappy for wanting more, then I would wholeheartedly encourage everyone to always want more. And the fact is, whether you hear, take my advice or not, everyone is all about changing their life. This is one of the hallmarks of consciousness. Even the divine, God, if you will, is all about change, expansion, creation, adventure. And so my pursuit that's kind of led me here has been about my dreams coming true, and it took me from Pricewaterhouse into selling T-shirts, and from selling T-shirts with my brother's art to selling T-shirts with his art and my little sayings about life, dreams, and happiness. And from there, 12 years ago, I began teaching full-time, learning to get in front of an audience with Toastmasters, as you said, exploring the internet, kind of putting it all together. And, you know, today I can happily say my life is like a fairy tale. I just booked my tickets to Manchester. I haven't even told you, Alex,
hey.
For April next year.
Hey.
And yeah, and this is what I now teach, that life is this adventure. And just to kind of go beyond what we shared a moment ago so well about the cup being half full, and how this does unquestionably in everyone's mind make a difference in how our life progresses, it's more than just an attitude. It's more than just an optional way of kind of considering your place in the cosmos. Our thoughts literally become the things and events of our lives. This is how dreams come true. This is why every athlete is taught creative visualization. And this is kind of my mission now, and why I write and speak and teach, to make sure that people kind of don't just think of, you know, life is kind of half of what you make it and half of how you take it. Life is 100% about how you make it. And I know that that can seem a bit extreme, but I've got all kinds of work and books, 9 of them now, that kind of explores every nuance. And so life is, number one, not what we think it is. But number two, when we realize there's more to what our physical senses, more to life than what our physical senses are showing, we realize we have other levers to pull, buttons to push, so to speak, to ensure a greater happiness than we even knew we could move towards.
Exactly. I mean, it's interesting that we look at the success of your last appearance in Manchester, of course, at the Etihad Stadium, and within a month, City had won the FA Cup. They were champions of the country. It was just celebration in every sense of the word.
All right.
So, yeah, exactly. I think, obviously, Roberto Mancini and the team should be duly proud of the whole thing. I know I was. It's wonderful stuff there. Katie, would you like to give me a number between 1 and 150, please?
117.
And this is the line that comes from the Notes from the Universe. A little birdie just came my way and mentioned a deep, soulful desire of yours. Heavens no, not that one. She said that you'd be eternally grateful if once and for all you never, ever had to worry about money again. Well, I couldn't resist. Wish granted. You never, ever have to worry about money again. Anything else? Anything at all? The Universe. There we are, you see. Katie's suddenly going to win the lot. It's all going to be good from that point of view. But do you find yourself getting... Well, are you a positive person, Katie? You're not. You see, this is it.
I'm negative and I worry about anything and everything.
And she does, Mike. You know, level two, Katie, the worrier. So come on, let's give a few sort of little pointers. That, you know, I think first of all, obviously, sign up for tut.com. But Mike, what sort of words would you give for Katie? Just lift her up.
Well, I'd say, you know, you and I...
Kate, Katie, have a lot in common. I've worried my whole life about everything, and rather than kind of criticize yourself or think that you're, you know, are cursed with this issue, realize it's just a function of how incredibly responsible you are. And then, as you move towards studying and understanding the nature of reality by asking the hard questions yourself and insisting that you answer them, we all have the answers, and or reading my works or any other works that may resonate with you, you will be led to realize that it's as if all of our positive thoughts are, I say this kind of because I don't know what other number to use, at least 10,000 times, and that's on the low end, more powerful than our negative thoughts. So you can continue to worry, you can continue to stew, you continue to be fearful, but as long as you do what you can to be positive, to act with faith, to move in the general direction of your dreams, even though you're bad-mouthing the process at times because you're overwhelmed or distraught or life seems to be difficult, you are still so inclined to succeed that the worrisome thoughts will not detract from all that you're capable of doing. And I've seen that time and again in each of my own life crises.
You see, funnily enough, Mike, I was actually sort of just going to cite a personal experience from yourself, which I know you shared with me a few years ago. Because last week, we always do a photo shoot here on the Midweek Drive. It's on facebook.com/ Southside Broadcasting. You can find the guys, etc. And Katie, what was your comment on the photograph that went up there? You said,
I look off.
And, you know, instantly people turned around and said, no, she's fine, she's all right, etc. And I thought to myself, I remember when Mike said he was always concerned about his photographs. Now he can't take a bad photograph. He's always great. And what's your response, Mike? You know, can we use the same thing for Katie? She's never going to take another bad photograph ever
again. Absolutely, absolutely. Your word is your wand, as famous author Florence Scovel Shin once said. Your word is your wand. So use your word intentionally to speak of yourself and of your life as if both were what you've always dreamed they would one day be, even though in the moment that you're speaking those words, it seems preposterous. Say things like, everything I touch turns to gold, even when you've got credit card debt. Say things like, I am so photogenic, I can't take a bad picture, even when it seems like all of your last recent pictures were terrible. Say things like, I've never felt better. Say things that you wish were true as if they were true. That's the thing here. Don't say, I'm going to feel better. Say, I do feel better. I feel great. I love my pictures. Don't say, I'm going to love my pictures. This is just one little tool amongst many that I teach and others teach. And yes, you have to take action when it comes to living your dreams. And yes, it's more than just sitting around wishfully thinking that life is going to improve. But when you program the magic with your thoughts and your words, and then you show up and you act the part and you boldly smile and take a picture like you mean it, you will be astounded at how things change in your life. It works for everything, health, energy levels. It works for money, clarity, a job you don't even call work.
You see, there we are. And Chris, from the academic point of view, you share with me that sometimes we're faced with students and they do get into a negative place. And you have to sort of just constantly remind them that actually it'll all work out okay in the end.
Students? Negative? Absolutely not. I've never met one in that type in my life. They're just
He's a business studies person, Mike. You know, it's a different area. You know?
Yeah. It's not so different from Pricewaterhouse, maybe. Tell me, Mike, what are you going to do next? If life is constant change and dreams of where you can be and what you're going to do, what's the next stage?
Well, I'm always knocking on new doors, as I phrase it. I don't insist on anything except for the general. I insist on being happy, and that doesn't mean I don't have a down day. I insist on living in abundance. I insist on friends and laughter, and I insist on international travel. Those have been my four guiding lights for 12 years. And when people say, what's next, I tell them those four things. As to the details that will spin off, well, I'm not attached. I will probably continue writing, probably continue touring all over the world speaking. But I do have a stick in the fire in Hollywood right now. There's several people who are pitching.
As I've already said, Mike Dooley, the life story, it's going to be unmissable. I hope Phil Leonis is on the case. He should have put the bid in already. You know, if not, we'll work it through. It's great. I mean, and again, I think that's, without kind of being artificially saccharine about the whole thing, I think there are key areas here that resonate. What would you say, Ed?
I would say that I think it's very interesting because I need to read something in a kind of bite-sized portion. I can't read a whole chapter of a book telling me how to be happy. And what I love is your kind of headline way of presenting what you're thinking. What do you have in terms of giving advice to anybody else who wants to write down their thoughts?
Oh, my gosh, do it. Build it, and they will appear. Whether it's a stadium or a book you want to write or a business you want to start, nothing can happen unless you go. And it's always those first few steps that seem so futile. It seems so pathetic compared to the champagne and caviar you're dreaming about. But none of that can happen unless we are the spark. If we step forward, the universe will fill our sails with its unfailing winds.
And your word is your wand. The quote that you gave earlier, of course, perfect routine for trick or treat and Halloween. It's amazing. Has anybody knocked on your door as yet, or is it the middle of the day, Mike? Because I'm not sure. Times have gone back, time zones, etc. Maybe they start very early in Florida.
It's still the middle of the day.
Right.
The wee little kids sometimes go out much earlier. But
Your favorite Halloween costume? I mean, presumably, your mum took you around with your brothers, etc. In terms of when you were there. I mean, did you used to do the whole Halloween scenario?
Of course.
Yeah?
Oh,
okay.
My God. I think I was the pirate, like every other Halloween. It was my favorite costume.
It's quite, you see, I'm more James T. Kirk, but that's a different line entirely, you know. We'll get into that in the fullness of time. Mike, you've already sort of leaked some exclusive information, though, which I'm very excited about, that you will hopefully be coming back to England in the spring of 2013. So that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, excellent stuff. The next thing is, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us as ever here on the Midweek Drive?
As ever. Enjoyed every moment.
So the next crucial thing is, can we look forward to hopefully featuring you during our kind of grand 24-hour package? That doesn't mean to say, Mike, we're going to book you for the full 25 hours, because we appreciate that being insane. You know, I'll do 25 hours, but we'll connect with LA Talk Radio, Philadelphia, etc. Will you be there to share with us your thoughts of 2012 and the handover and the Mayan calendar and all the other magical things that we can look forward to?
Very willingly. Can't wait.
It's just a wondrous person in every sense of the word. I think we will finish with a rounding jambo. Jambo, Mike.
Jambo, Alex.
I think I'll have to cue the team in for this, actually. All right, let's say it again. Jambo, Mike. 1, 2, 3.
Jambo, Mike.
We're getting there, but I think we have to work on it. You know, we'll get that enthusiasm up there. It's a British cultural thing, Mike. Don't worry. Here's Jesse Ware, Nightlights. Clocks went back over the weekend. Our clocks went back. We gained the extra hour. Jean Bruce Scott waiting in Los Angeles. Not the sort of thing. I don't worry, this could create no end of confusion as far as we're heading up into all sorts of ways, etc. But still, never mind. That hasn't stopped us. We will hopefully try and reach Randy Reinholtz in the very near future. But, Chris, it's a heck of an opportunity for you to actually reveal all to the listeners of Siren FM in terms of how people can actually book tickets for LPAC, what exciting things are actually there, and why it is essentially the most wondrous thing you could ever wish to actually connect with.
Well, I'll certainly try, though. I'm a little overwhelmed at the moment with all the wonderful material that we were hearing from Mike. But I was entertained by his famous author, his multiple books, his way with words, and his classical bon mot he was coming out with, which should inspire us all.
I think so.
And I'm going to make a snappy and really uncontrived link there to our very own loved William Shakespeare.
Yes.
What we've got coming up at LPAC in 4 weeks' time, starting on Monday the 26th of November, is Lincoln's very own Shakespeare Festival. 5 Shakespeare plays over 6 nights. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We've got everything. We've got the desperation and insanity of Lear. We've got the star-crossed lovers of Romeo and Juliet. We've got the historical, was it a tragedy? Richard II, it certainly was for him. We've got Midsummer Night's Dream. That's the only comedy about it. And that, entertainingly, that one kind of chimes with me, and indeed with radio, and indeed what other folk have been saying today, because that is a modern version, true to the proper text, but a modern version set in a pop festival. Your first reaction to that is, hang on, rock festival, Shakespeare, not quite the thing. But then you think of, Just make the connection between Midsummer Night's Dream and Glastonbury and the Avalon mysteries and how people act, and it starts to make perfect sense. Looking forward to that hugely. And the one play that I haven't mentioned which I've never actually seen, Troilus and Cressida. This is a glorious opportunity.
Not good if you like sort of servings of pies and various animals and babies. I won't say any further, well, but, you know.
Yes, OK. There are elements of it. I'm thinking of the education and the breadth of the spread of what we have here. Midsummer Night's Dream is the only one you could begin to call a comedy. But there you go. Some of the other ones have a lot of other exciting things, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll, or near enough to those things anyway. But it really is the bargain of the year. How can you find anywhere else in the country where you could watch five Shakespeare plays over six nights and get a ticket for the lot? Not each, but the ticket for the lot of them for £20.
I genuinely don't know. Katie, do you know?
No.
No. I mean, Stratford-upon-Avon, maybe, but probably not even there.
I wouldn't think you could get that many.
Very strange.
I think you'd be hard-pushed. £5 for a ticket for each of the individual shows, £20 gets you into all of them.
And who's performing them?
These are Lincoln students. It's a most entertaining thing, really. It's a glorious opportunity to see the skill of our drama students. This is an end-of-term assignment for them. It's an exam, if you like. We've got the great opportunity, it sounds ridiculous when you say this, of paying good money to go and watch students taking an exam.
It's wondrous. I think it's entertaining of the finest quality, really, just to see the sort of tension that's actually up there in that sort of routine. It's going to be fantastic. And a reminder, it's taking place at LPAC, Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. Do people go to a web address and sort tickets out for that routine, or do they?
Yes, that's perfectly fine. www.lpac, that's spelt LPAC, L-P-A-C, www.lpac.co.uk.
Now, I do know that we've spoken about getting some of the Midsummer Night's Dream folk, etc., into the studio and doing some pieces with that. Hopefully that's in hand, because I know Katie's keen to grill these students, amongst other things, so we'll get that sort of through. Not grill as in kind of eat them, of course.
We can get them all. We've been speaking to all of the students, and they're all very keen to come in and talk to us about all of the plays.
Exactly. And, you know, and this sort of Halloween year, obviously we've had the treat, we had the trick there when we sort of think, oh, we're now behind. We're going to try and actually resume back with treats, really, as we actually move to hopefully Randy Reinholdt, so we will hopefully connect with. If not, it'll be Michelle Monroe, Tallulah Randall, Peter Franklin. Now, Peter's going to be interesting. He might also think we're on a different sort of time schedule entirely. And, of course, Phil Leonis. And it's the magic of Japan with Halloween, keeping that All Hallows theme going. Now, as we say, we clearly had the treat earlier in the show with, of course, the decision to actually have... Yes, you can open them up. I mean, you know, Chris is going to be leaving us in a few moments, so you might need to sort of, you know, take some sustenance on the way. There may be other treats around. We had certainly the trick when we hadn't realised, of course, in Britain, the clocks went back over the weekend, thereby fall back, spring forward, fall back, that extra hour... Disaster when you try to reach California, because clearly, you know, they're into conference call also. But thank the Lord, we're back to treats again, because Randy Reinholdt, one of the co-founders of the fabulous Native Voices at the Autry, is back with us and is here in full force. How are you, Randy?
Woohoo, Alex!
Yay! Hooray and a triple hooray, etc. Now, I'm pleased you're here because, obviously, we've already started launching the excitement that Native Voices at the Autry with yourself and, of course, Jean will be coming over in April, May next year to be based at the wonderful world of Grantham. Now, as I said, it's insane not to get you guys there, etc., and not join in on the show and various other things, but we have in the studio here Chris Taylor, who is also working with the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. We've talked about their Shakespearean season that they're actually having this side of Christmas and so on. And I think it's fair to say, Chris, when I mentioned obviously the resume of both Randy and Jean, you were thinking, these are wonderful people. Yes.
Well, I certainly look forward to meeting Chris. I don't know that our resumes would speak to our wonderfulness.
Oh, I think so. You know, I think Days of Our Lives, Airwolf, Magnum PI, etc., combined with Native American Voices, and we're into all sorts of magical scenarios.
Yeah, Randy, I have to make a confession here. I'm one of these people. I guess it gives away a bit about my age. I used to have my VCR tuned to two different regional stations so I could watch Magnum on two successive nights on two different regions. Because what a fine program. And as for Airwolf, well, this was the must-watch. You'd sit down. It was lunchtime on Saturdays. I remember it like it was yesterday. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. I'm going to come to Grantham. I'm going to move to Grantham. Don't worry. And we'll have to get you up here into Lincoln, won't we?
I think so.
You want to come to Lincoln.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're certainly booking you into the studio. That sort of through. But I think, as far as I say, Chris, we might be able to squeeze in with some of the fine folk at LPAC some sort of performance in some way, shape, or form. At least some sort of masterclass.
It's got to be done. It's got to be done.
I think so.
Certainly, I'll be pushing for that as well, Randy.
It's brilliant stuff. So, Chris, at present, you're going to leave us in a few moments, but stay with us whilst we sort of work through this wonderful native voices at the Autry. Something which caught my attention over the weekend, Randy, and it connects, obviously, with Pope Benedict and the Vatican, because we've got the first Native American saint canonized. Did you follow that little story?
I did not see that story.
There we are. I'll get details and all sorts of other bits and pieces to you from that point of view. But yes, in fact, I'll get the research on that whilst I pass over to Ed, and he can quiz you about Native Voices at the Autry. And more importantly, what exciting things they're doing, because otherwise our fabulous people at NY Jazz and Libby and company, they would not forgive us if we didn't at least sort of plug this seriously so people can actually listen to this show, say, right, I'm on the jet plane, I'm flying across the Atlantic, I'm going to get from Lincoln, England, to Los Angeles now. Anyway, over to you.
So tell us, you know, what is the program for the Native Voices? You know, in your average month, what sort of happens?
Well, this weekend is a fun weekend for us. We have this big event. We call it the American Indian Arts Market. So we have Indian artists from a number from Canada, probably a couple hundred. And we have this huge tent that goes up, and there's a competition, people display their wares. And during that event, there's music, there's dance, and our portion of it is a short play festival. And this year's theme, in honor of Jim Thorpe's 100th anniversary of winning the gold medals in the Olympics, which is our English connection, is short plays about American Indians in athletics. And there are a lot of prominent Native people we have them in golf and in running, which is an old sport that we do well in, basketball, baseball. My cousin was Johnny Bench, so that's my personal connection. Johnny Bench was a famous baseball player, American baseball player. So we have the short play festival, and in that evening, the Sundance folks who run the Sundance Film Festival are coming over with short films by prominent Native artists. So it's a huge Native Arts weekend here in Los Angeles.
Just to give you some further information on the aforementioned first ever Native American saint canonized by the Vatican in a ceremony this weekend, Kateri Tekawitha, sometimes known as Lily of the Mohawks. Have you sort of come across Lily of the Mohawks before?
Yeah, I did a Wikipedia search, and I think some people call her Kateri.
Yeah, true. Yeah, pronunciation with respect to, I guess let's go to Kateri from that perspective. I mean, it's because there is a line which says, well, it's only taken 300 years before they actually recognised that, in fact, all Native Americans were saints just putting up with you Europeans coming over. But is this kind of cause to celebrate the fact that we're actually seeing this? Because obviously, from the religious perspective, you think, actually, yeah, you know, we've actually got, so we've got beyond the sort of blessed status, we've now actually reached a canonization.
I think so. You know, the European religions are polarizing within Native communities. Mm. You'll appreciate that about two-thirds of the Native people in the United States consider themselves Christian.
Yeah.
That third that doesn't consider themselves Christian often looks at Christianity as a colonizing force.
Indeed.
So it's
a bit of a political.
Potentially
a political hot potato. But I just thought it was quite interesting. But then again, as I often commented, what would the odds have been if at the end of the Second World War you said, yes, we would have had a Polish person in the Vatican followed by a German? You know, what odds would you got on that? You know, it's so astounding. Just goes to show time and the universe. Katie, any questions for yourself?
Apart from the festival, what's upcoming? What other plays like upcoming?
That will be upcoming plays then.
Yeah.
Very good.
Our next big production is called The Birdhouse, and we were just, I said to Alex, because of the time change, we were expecting a call at a different time, and we just finished a conference call with all the designers. And
you realize, Randy, the guilt I'm going to be faced with now is going to take several therapy sessions to actually go through. I mean, you know,
I
we always...
It was meant to be, Alex.
Yeah.
I hung up and you called. That's divine providence.
It's true. Exactly. we connect on that basis, but I did give profuse apologies to the gentleman who picked up Jean's phone in the office. Basically, said yes, it's okay. He was waiting. I thought, oh no! But anyway. It worked. Plus, of course, it does mean that for the first time, actually, I believe, Randy, you've actually had an uninterrupted sort of full spotlight on Randy Reinholtz. So, you know.
Finally, it's about me. I was waiting for this and waiting.
It was always that tension. You know, we worked through that. Chris, any other questions from yourself?
Well, I'm sure the proud people of Grantham are looking forward to meeting you as well. But when are you going to be over here, Randy?
Well, it looks like the month of April. We might be able to come just a little bit before in March. And then our speaking engagements, it looks like the first 2 weeks of April are their heavy times, and that's when we'd like to connect with you guys.
I hope the weather is a little better here. We shouldn't moan about it, because it's nothing to what you got on the East Coast, but it's pretty unpleasant.
Yeah.
But at least Alex will be relieved to know that if you come the first couple of weeks of April, we won't have changed the clocks again.
That's true. You see, this is, you know,
we'll kind of be on the same time scale.
Very good. You know, it's enough for me dealing with sort of Central and Eastern and Pacific Standard Times without, oh, Lord, they've shifted all the rest of the bits and pieces around. Randy, on a slightly more serious note, I mean, clearly... Superstorm Sandy, as she's now being referred to, massive impact, etc. What's the take in Los Angeles and sort of the West Coast about what our sort of brothers and sisters on the sort of East Coast have kind of been faced with recently?
Well, you know, we end up traveling a lot, so we actually flew into New York last Friday and were scheduled to leave as the hurricane arrived. So we spent a lot of time, good old Jeannie, figuring out the phones and getting us flights out before the hurricane arrived. And I got to say, they did a really good job of helping people evacuate once they called for the evacuation. What I see, I mean, in some ways I think Facebook is as good a source for news, though I know the New York Times is covering the event free of charge, so anybody can log on to the New York Times, and the pictures are astounding, as they often are with the Times, of the damage. And I think the big thing is going to be the flooding, and can they get the water out of lower Manhattan? That's going to take a long time. They're talking about transits being down all week.
Strange. Yeah, absolutely. And obviously we'll hopefully sort of find out from one of our New York correspondents, Peter Franklin, in terms of how things are going for that in the second part of the program. The web address, how can people actually find out about Native Voices at the Autry? I know it's a fairly basic thing. You could say, well, just use a search engine. After all, it's George Boole's sort of birthday on November 2nd. He set up Boolean logic. So, you know, what's the easiest way of actually getting in touch with you guys at Native Voices?
Well, there is Native Voices at the Autry.org.
Yep.
And all is one word, and there's nativevoices.blogspot.com, blogspot.com, and that's got a little bit more insider information than
you see,
the others.
I'm often thinking, with that kind of pandering to cultural stereotypes, you know, we roll back 400 or 500 years, and surely smoke signals were a lot easier. You know? It's just, you know, in terms of your twittering and your tweeting and all the rest of the bits and pieces, you know, just get those signals that are going out there. We can, you know, get the message across there. Or if not, you know, actually use spirit guides. You know, I think that's quite handy as well.
I feel you, Alex. I feel you. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, there we are. Ed, would you like to throw those last two questions to Randy Reinholtz, please?
I certainly would, Randy. Can we look forward to connecting with you again in the near future? Oh, that's the second question, isn't it?
You've actually done reverse that. You've done a treat. As well,
I'll ask you that one anyway. Can we look forward to connecting with you again soon, Randy?
Well, I'm having pudding first. Oh, good. Yes.
Lovely.
I shall connect again in face-to-face in April.
And the second question, which is really the first question, which is a kind of given answer, if you don't mind. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on Siren FM today?
I've learned so much. This whole clock thing. Very big.
Now, you will ensure that when you speak to Jeannie later on today or whatever, you do pass on our abject apologies for the fact, and we will hopefully book her probably in the very next, in fact, I think next week, we should really actually sort of, well, the week after, to certainly get that sorted through, because, you know, honestly, it's just, you'd think our researchers would have sorted that one out. Never mind. Still.
I have a text from her right now saying, send her love.
Wow. There we are. Well, that's right back at you, as we might well say, over on this side of the Atlantic pond. Warren Zephon, Werewolves of London.